You're about to listen to a message by Reverend Yomi Kasali of Foundation of Truth Assembly. May the word you hear bear fruit in your heart, now and always.
Praise God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we take a look into scriptures to understand the greatest commandment. Don't forget, the last 3 weeks we've been taking a cursory look at this particular passage in Matthew's Gospel, the 22nd chapter, from verse number 36 to 40, trying to understand the greatest commandment beyond the act of grace. I told you there were two things Jesus said, which is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, Jesus said in verse 40 that on these two hang all the laws and the prophets. So in other words, he was speaking about the Old Testament scriptures. That those Old Testament scriptures were all strengthened. They took their strength from those two passages. Vertical relationship with God and horizontal relationship with man. And that's how you know who a Christian is. The summary of the Christian faith is our love towards God and our love towards man. However, if you recall, 3 weeks ago, I did say to us that understanding the grace theology and the human response is important for us to understand God, understand Christian faith. The grace theology is what we preach and teach to unbelievers, and today it has almost become the message to the church. What's the grace theology? That God loves the world. That from God's standpoint, God loves you unconditionally. God died on the cross of Calvary for all of us. However, that's not the Christian faith. That's the beginning of a Christian faith. God's love towards us, no problems. Christian faith is now human's response, which is faith towards God's love. Because God does not love the church, God loves the world. So it's not for God to love the church that he gave his only son. It's God to love the world. So now a few people in that world that now respond to the love of God now becomes the church. So if those of us that respond to this love of God by giving our lives back to him, because he's giving us his best, we now consecrate our own lives to him. At that point, we become saved. And once we become saved, that's the entry point into the church. So we now become his body. And at that point, he now starts telling us, start loving me. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at that love that we in the church should have towards him. And I try to explain that by telling you, to get that right is to say, when he used the word, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, I believe in that passage, all is more important than love. Not that love is less important, I said more important, because we read it as if thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, meaning it's measurable. So the measure of love that Pastor Jackson has towards God's love may not be as much as Pastor Aguirre. Pastor Aguirre may love God more than Pastor Jackson, or more than Pastor Raymond, more than Pastor Dolapo, whatever you are. So you know, we all love God. Loving God is the baseline. Everybody loves God, but there is little love. Luke chapter 7, there is much love. Praise God. There's little love and there's much love. So this sermon series is not to teach us to love God. It's to help us measure our love towards God. That's it. And the last 2 weeks, I've been explaining to you by standing here, I said there is the first love called silver love. Then I moved to the center. So there's a second category of lovers, gold lovers, silver lovers of God, gold lovers of God. And I moved to the third called the platinum lovers of God. So we have silver, gold, platinum. Those are my own phrases, by the way. You can't find them in the Bible. That's just me trying to explain to you how to identify, measure, and know where you belong of the three. So today we're going to discuss platinum lovers of God. Who are these platinum lovers? And to take my own text from that, I will go to Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7. I like to use contemporary issues to explain spiritual matters. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 7 says to us, this is the platinum love, many waters cannot quench love. That's where we are. There is a love that is so undying, so strong, that no matter what you do, you can't kill that love. No matter how you try to weaken them, you can't stop it. This is the hot love. This is what hot love. Using water is to explain to you that love is fiery in nature. So use the word waters. You know, in Yoruba they say, ifeanyi gbona. That's what I mean. So, you know, the love this guy has for that girl. Hot love. Hot love. So Solomon understands love, because you all know he was one of the finest lovers in scriptures. You know, he said, many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all his substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt. In other words, money cannot buy it. Waters cannot do it. There's a love you have for somebody that money cannot buy, touch, or crush. So that's the kind of love we're talking about today. I'm not speaking in context. I'm simply bringing that passage to explain to you my mind about what platinum love is. The love that is undying. So Father, we ask as we go and delve into your word to understand platinum love, that those out there watching and those here, Lord, you will touch our hearts so that we may love you sacrificially in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Today, we're discussing the highest manifestation and expression of love towards God. Highest. It's called platinum love. Highest. When I say highest, few people have reached that height. Few. Many people are here, the gold love. And much more are here, the silver love. If you recall, I explained to you that the silver love are the multitudes in church. And Pastor Green likes the word multitude. While the good love are the disciples. But the platinum lover is John. Because only John was found where? At the cross of Calvary. There were so many disciples that made all kind of statements. I'll be with you. I'll stand by you. We'll love you. While this place is full of multitudes that are in church. They come from the world. Now those places. Now these guys are still better than those ones. Because that one is what? The agnostics and the atheists and the unbelievers. You know? So that one is the world. Now, that is the world. Now, these people have left the world, but the world has not left them. Jenkins, are you with me? They've left the world. And watch me. If you listened to that message 2 weeks ago, when I spoke about the silver love, I explained the multitude philosophy and the multitude mindset. The multitude here lost after God what they can get from God. This one likes God. This one loves God. Are you with me? So this one comes to Christ for bread and fish, what they can eat. The moment they can't get it, they walk away from God. This one says, well, to whom shall we go? Even though he don't give us bread and fish, we'll still stand by you. However, not to this point, because when challenge came, when trials came, when Jesus was in the cross, they fled. We only found one. Only one were at the foot of the cross, John. These ones don't really care about the state of the church. They are selfish. They are in church. They are in faith for what they will get. This one is not selfish. It's actually mutual. They appreciate God for what God has done for them, and they want to give back to God as long as God continues to give back to them. This one is actually selfless. Do you see the difference? Silver, gold, platinum. But this is where we should be. And I told you last week, if you recall, the difference. I said we should stop comparing. We should stop comparing gold lovers with silver. We should rather, watch me, compare the silver lovers with the unbelievers. I'd rather compare the gold lovers with the platinum. And I told you the difference between gold lovers and platinum, Pastor Yomi, is that these ones don't want to carry the cross. These ones don't mind the cross. These guys love God conveniently. These guys love God with the pain. These guys say, well, I love him as much as I can't kill myself. These ones, I don't mind killing myself. These ones serve God when it's okay. I don't want to go push myself. I can't push it too much. I'll just serve once a year in the ushering department. These ones say once a week. They don't mind going the extra mile. So that's the difference between the gold and the platinum. Both of us are Christians, but we love God differently. Simon, that Jesus went to his house, was gold. He said, if Jesus had known this woman, look at, he would have known that this man is a sinner. But that woman was on the platinum. She was crying. She broke an alabaster box. She took her hair. She wiped the feet. And Jesus said, look, Simon, I came to your house. Look at this woman. Look at you. By the way, I love you, and you love me. That's why you invited me to your house. However, guess what? This man would not even allow me to come to her house. Why? She would not feel entitled to my visitation, or that she would not even think she deserves it. Yet she come here and she's poured out everything. A kiss you have not given me. She has not stopped kissing my feet. Oil for my head you've not put. She has watered my feet with oil, with her tears. You have not even. So Jesus had to compare. Christ said, she loves much. You love little. Can you see? For she loved much. And to whom little is forgiven, you same loveth little. So the passage, this passage should prick your heart, should prick every conscience listening to me now. You should read it over and over and over and over again. Now there are some people that love much, some love little. We agree that at least they still love, but there's little love, there's much love. We know that it's better than those that don't love at all. But do not think love is all the same. No, there are different measures of how we love God. We love God, Janet, differently. We all love God differently. And that's the issue. Because we tend to think love is, that's that word, static. Now, once you love God, then you accept him. Oh, no, that's not true. God wants us to love him much. So we don't want to step up in our love game. I'm here to see a spouse, a woman or man, who will not want his or her wife, their wives or spouses, to love them more. We're always yearning for more. Always yearning for more. The more they show you, the more you respond. The more they show you or express, the more you respond. Love is measurable. We need to get to that point. And that doesn't mean that we should condemn those that love little. But the people that love little should also not condemn those that love much. Can I tell you something? Pastor Jenkins, over the last 2 weeks, I've made some statements. People don't listen to me. Go and search scriptures, Pastor Agri and Pastor Tolu. I've read my Bible. You will never find, listen to this, go and search. You never find those that stay in platinum complain. Always this one. Let me tell you why. Simon was one complaining. The woman did not say, how can Jesus be going to these people's houses? They don't love him the way I love him now. They, you know why? People here always feel I'm not even doing. In Luke 18, there was a publican and a Pharisee. Who was the person complaining? The Pharisee. If God had known this publican, he says, now, the publican didn't bother. I'm only in church for me and God. You know, some people go to church just me and God. While others go to look at others in church. Hey, look at this one. Yeah. This one is praying. Hey, this prostitute. Wonders shall never end. Where that girl does not give a damn about you, does not care about your looks or your wigs. All she's just there to do is worship, be lost in worship. I'm going to the house, just pray to worship when I go home. You are conceding, you are looking at people worshiping. You are saying, is this one paying tight? Is that one fast? Nothing fast. You find that those that are God lovers are those always prognosing and complaining. Those guys don't, all they want to do is focus on him, on him, on him, on him. Pour the alabaster box not him. Give their time to him. Spend more hours in his presence. All they are concerned about is him, not you. That's why what they do, Pastor Gary, to us, without us knowing, is these guys start condemning those guys. And they say it is eye service. Well, the truth is, what he means is that is heart service, but the fact that they can't give it, they start condemning it. I don't know who that woman was, but from that scripture, she didn't give a hoot, she didn't give a reply, she didn't respond, she was focused on him. Christ had to say it. This one loved much. This one loved me much. She's not even concerned. And even Simon was thinking within himself, look at this man. And he calls himself a prophet. He's not even concerned. God help us to discern those that come to God's presence with their whole heart, asking him for mercy, more. And they look and say, Lord, I am a wretch saved by you. What can I do for you? How can I serve you more? How can I give much more? How can I deploy my talent? How can I just devote my lifetime? I must be able to do something more for him. There must be something more I can do. I want to love more. Let's be committed to loving God more than we've loved before now. Can you make up your mind to say, I'm going to get 10 souls saved. I'm going to go on the street, go on the highways and hedges. There must be sinners out there. I will find those who have not accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm going to, if I can't get them saved, I'm going to get a saved disciple. I will tell the senior pastor. I will tell my pastor of my church. I don't know who you are. I will tell my pastor, give me the new converts list. I want to follow them up. I want to let them know that Jesus is the best thing that can happen to any man. You must find something you want to do for him. Do something more. Don't waste this year. Don't waste your life. Do something for him. Love God with a platinum love. Love God like a platinum lover, not a silver lover, not a gold lover. Do something for him. Let everyone attest to the fact that you love him. Praise God. I told you last week, because I want to rush this sermon, I have a few more minutes. I want to explain to you 7 to 10 characteristics or facts about platinum lovers. Number one, who are these platinum lovers? I told you last week, Pastor Agri, let me tell you what I said. In John chapter 19, Pastor Jenkins, God showed me this and I preached it, that those that are here, these ones, Pastor Agri, they work for God, God lovers. They work for God. Platinum lovers make God's work their home. Now they are stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. I'm going to read it again. I don't know why women are more loyal. Pastor Gray and I were discussing a few days ago with Pastor Jenkins that women are more faithful and loyal. Look at it. That's why in John chapter 19, you'll find that all the apostles, 12 men, one went to commit suicide, 10 ran away. Here we find only women standing by the cross of Jesus at the point of crucifixion, at the darkest, listen to me, the darkest moments of Christ's life. The darkest moment where the Father abandoned the Son, where the Father forsook the Son. You guys whined with him, dined with him, took his wealth, took everything. When he was very much crucified, you are nowhere. Only women. There stood by the cross his mother, number one. His mother's sister, number two. Mary, the wife of Cleopas, number three. Mary Magdalene, number four. How come it's only women? How come? Women are more reliable. They are more dependable. They are more faithful. Clap for every woman here and not here. Clap. We praise God for women. When it comes to faith, women do more. They were there. They were the last people to be stoned. He saw before he died. They were the ones. Then in verse 26, there was a guy there too, John. And then John saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. That's John. He said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Powerful passage. And he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. Platinum lovers. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. God help us. Behold thy mother. Platinum lovers, number one, always takes what matters to heaven home. Anything that God shows them that is concerned about, they take it home. You know, do you want me to take walk home? You know, from office, walk, so I'm taking walk home. This man took ownership. Oh, Jesus, help me. At this point, he took ownership. Put your hands together. He took ownership. That's how you know those that are platinum lovers. And this is a full-time service. You can be in the ushering department and be a platinum lover. You take ownership of ushering. You can be in media. You take ownership of media. You will say, the senior pastor has not appointed me. The senior pastor did not tell John to take her home. He just said, behold. He just said, behold. Behold means I'm showing you a burden. Do you know how many things God has showed you? And what have you done about it? Nothing. Behold. And he said, don't worry, Papa. I will take Mama home. I will take care of Mama. I know you care. I know you love Mama. Anything, forget it. As long as I'm alive, Mama will not suffer. Mama will not be hungry. Mama will not be naked. I will take care of the things that matter to you. Listen, Dagbo, there were four women there. He only said, behold your mother. From today, make this your home. The highest form of ownership is parental relationship. He called her mother, not woman. The highest form of ownership. You know how mothers love sons and how sons love mothers. My son loves my wife more than I think she loves me. There's women, son does anything, mommy, I will be there. You know how sons take care of their mamas. Say, behold your mother. Not just behold the woman, not behold women. There were other women. At that point, everybody that loves God like platinum takes everything that matters to God as their own. That's why I cannot sleep when I see people abuse the keyboard. I will be angry because that's my keyboard. That's our gallery. It's not in their home. It's our home. When you say the church owns it, it's you and the church. But it's a multitude, say the church. This one say, a place I walk. This one say, my home. Put your hands together, my home. My home. My home. That's the difference. Because I'm not saying they don't work for God, but no sense of ownership. Platinum lovers take it. And when I read that passage, I said, and he took her home from that hour. There was no further instruction. He just took what? Responsibility. Have you seen responsible boys? He just took responsibility. Said, from today, no worries, sir. I take care of it. Exactly. I take care of you. Mama, let's go home. Tell somebody, take her home. Take her home. Take her home. Say, take her home. We need to take her home. Who is she? The things that matter to Jesus. The things that matter to God. The people, the cause on earth that you know the Father is bleeding over. That you know heaven is concerned. Souls. Have you taken first timers home before? Yes. Have you taken the things that you know heaven is concerned about home? Yes. And you get home. And your husband says, honey, are you still bringing church work home? Yes, so why? It's my father's work. It's my father's work. We take secular work home, but we don't take spiritual work home. Why? We don't have that connection, that sense of ownership. We make it look like it's for church. The moment we leave church service, we leave church work in church till next Sunday. That's why we don't have many platinum lovers. Oh God, give us platinum lovers. Touch our hearts to love you more than gold, to go to the point of platinum. Touch our hearts. Touch our very beings. He took her home. John's love for Jesus was demonstrated by being the only disciple at the cross of Calvary when he was crucified. And secondly, by taking responsibility of what mattered to Jesus. Who? The mother of Jesus. He took her home. Because when you take her home, you sleep with her. You see her when you sleep. You wake up, you see her. You have to feed her. You have to clothe her. You have to be connected emotionally, with affectionately, everything around you. Because now she's part and parcel of your life. I don't know how to explain this. Home is the best place to reveal who you are. Home, your home tells me who you are. Home. You can't hide you can't hide yourself from at home. You can hide yourself at work. You can deceive people in church. But at home, you can't hide from yourself at home. For that himself am I. Peter was not there. Peter was here. No, anyway. Sometimes, Dabo, the platinum lovers are very quiet in church, not as vocal. We hear the Peters more than the Johns, but it doesn't mean that the Johns don't love God more than the Peters. No. Nobody can tell me that. May the Lord help us to open our eyes to see those ones that love us more. The second point here, platinum love is what Paul meant when he said, "What shall separate me from the love of God?" He said, "I would rather die for Jesus, even when things are bad." That's platinum love. He's not speaking about this love, because food is a place to hear. Food. There's no food, no love. This one, no food, no love. So he was speaking of platinum love. Because the things that Paul outlined in Romans chapter 8, put that for me. The things that Paul outlined is not gold love, it's platinum love. What shall, he said, who shall separate us? He now started to mention things, not people. He said, who is a being? But you know why he said who? Because behind tribulation, there's a being. Who shall separate us? Not what? Shall tribulation. That's a circumstance. Shall distress, shall COVID, shall persecution, shall famine, shall loss of job, shall nakedness, shall peril, shall sword. He outlined those things. This is platinum love. He's not speaking about food here. That's why he said in verse 36, listen to me, all of you that want to be platinum lover, verse 36 is your confession. As it is written, for thy sake, we are what? Killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. What is that saying? I'd rather die for him. For thy sake. Let me rephrase. It is written, I will die for you. No, you don't get it. You know, you watch all those things in Nigerian movie, African Magic. Yeah, can I, I'll die for you. You see, I'm saying, I love you with the love of dying. No, this is the Bible. That's platinum love. What he was saying here is that the reason nothing can separate us here, me and John, is that if I could take his place on the cross, I will. I would rather stay here and die with him, die for him, for thy sake. Oh, Jesus, you miss that. Not for my sake. That place is what? Selfish. This one is what? Mutual. This is what? Selfless. Those that do platinum love among me, they do things for thy sake. What am I supposed to do? I'm willing to die for thy sake. Matado. For thy sake. That's why we find it difficult to have platinum lovers in church. We can't even sacrifice money. We can't sacrifice time. 2 extra hours. We do vigil, we say we can't do vigil. You call cap vigil, they say they can't come. How can we now say we are platinum lovers? We are God lovers. We love God conveniently. We can't do for thy sake, we are killed all day long. We have not even gotten there at all. For thy sake, we are killed. Killed. For thy sake, we are killed. In this place, Pastor Dennis, for thy sake, we are pampered all day long. We pamper young people. We give you money to come to church. We give money to go back home. We give money to eat at home. We give money. The only thing they have not applied for is a voucher to say Christianity allowance. To give me money to become a Christian. To maintain my allowance. Christianity maintenance allowance. Very soon they will apply for it. And we will be looking for voucher and money. Let's give them some money in church to keep them as Christians. We call it Christianity maintenance allowance. And we feel voucher and sign voucher. Why? Because there's no allowance we don't feel voucher for. We're in trouble because people no longer love God. We're discussing the love of God. We don't love God. Why we should love God? We're not. We pay for everything. Everything. Very soon they will tell the ushers not to be paid. Very soon we pay everybody for coming to church. Including the allowance for you to stay at home and sustain your Christian faith. We're in the north. They are dying all day long for him. And they refuse to give up. They're being killed every day. They're being butchered. They're being machated. They're being killed. They have been persecuted daily. And those guys still find a way of stumbling and ruffling to church every Sunday. to see lift up holy hands. They're not talking prosperity. They still worship God every day. We cannot. For all day long, we are pampered. The Lord will help us to change our message, to go back to what the Bible says. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your might. That is the greatest commandment. The second is like it. The second is different. This is the real one. This is the only one. The second is like unto it. The second is not the first. The second is not the commandment. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, not to love man. The second is like it. Like unto it. Like unto it. We make loving God serious work. We beg you to love God. It's a commandment. It's a decree. The decree is not a greatest suggestion. When military men rule, they rule with decrees. You accept it or you don't. Number three, David demonstrated. I'm giving you the traits of platinum love. How do I know platinum love? I've given you the first one is you take her home with you. What? The things that matter to heaven becomes yours. You take ownership. That's how you know those that love God with platinum love. Number two is what? What is meant? You say love that is undying. That you say anything happens, I'm ready to die for God. What shall separate us? Number three, David demonstrated this affection, this love, when he sang and praised God naked. But you know his wife didn't understand that. And his wife didn't approve it. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12 to 23. The Bible says she despised him in her heart. She despised him. She despised. Thank God for good couples. Thank God for great wives that support their husband's initiative to love God with everything is God. Thank God for women that support their husbands. Every time, where are you? I'm in church. Don't worry, I'm supporting you. Not those that will say, what are you doing there? Are you Jesus? Are you kill Jesus? Are you kill Jesus? Or some men that harass their wives. You see, he told the king, but if you read it down, she despised him and he danced and danced. And he was happy, he was praising God. That's how you know those that love God passionately with platinum love. Why would she despised him? Number four, they must love God more than their closest kins and family. Now, this is the most frightening. This fourth point that explains the Christian love, that one is the most frightening. I'm telling you today with all sense of honesty, 90% of us that love God do not accept what Jesus said here. In Matthew chapter 10, for you to know what it is, it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. As a young Christian that just came from Islam, this is kind of verse that we use to encourage ourselves. But now as a Christian, I'm not too sure I like this verse for my own son and my daughter. But as a young Muslim that became a Christian, I fell in love with this verse a lot. When I'm under pressure, I will just take this verse to comfort myself. I will go there and say, he that loveth father or mother than me is not one of us. God, you know I love you more than my father and mother because they are Muslim and a Christian. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. I will pray that kind of prayer to comfort myself. But that's the truth. But what about us Christians? Do we love father and mother? That people we love more than God. It's a very frightening passage. It's not worthy of me. We must look for another interpretation for this passage that will be soothing to our lifestyle and culture. Because if we have to literally interpret it, 90% of us have failed God. I mean, I'm not joking. Jackie said there's none. He that loveth. He doesn't don't love them more. Don't get me wrong, but more than me is not worthy of me. Worthy. Either another son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Have you ever read that passage in your life? Do you believe this is the book called the Bible? Is the word of God? He's not saying don't love your son or daughter. I have a beautiful son, Joshua Kasali. Lovely, sweet, lovely daughter, Sophia Kasali. I love them very much, but not more than him. That's the key issue. So the question is this: Tolu, how do I know I don't love them more? May we not get to the point where you have to choose. Where there's a test of your faith. When you now say, well, let Jesus go and see to my children. May we not get to that point. Like Fashola said, where your loyalty will be tested. Where your faithfulness to him will be tested. May we not get there. Or your parents. Or your spouses. Even though it didn't show spouse, I don't want to spouse. Because he knows I love my wife. But we must get to that point. That's the platinum love we're talking about. Now, listen to me. Listen, this is what God is expecting. Are we living up to it? No. But if you want to now know his standard, that is his standard. It's always good to know his standard, eh? Whether we are meeting it or reaching up to it or not is another thing. But let us not deceive ourselves or be deluded. That is his standard. That is what he's asking for. This is what he's asking for. He's saying, this is my own standard. I'm not saying you can meet up, but this is my standard. And what I don't like is, the master said, he's not worthy of me. Lord, help us. So you can see that we are playing with this thing called Christianity. We're not even scratch the surface. What we call Christianity today is churchianity. Not playing church. Christianity is a serious, intense relationship with Jesus. In the early church, they took it very serious. They were killed for it. People were taking their faith. Once you say yes, you're a Christian, you belong to the way. People will hate you, fight you, and you will not go back. It was a serious matter. They were meeting in hideouts, homes. It's not what we do today that what we do today. I don't know what to call this one today. It's not even churchianity. We're just playing church, just dancing around. We're playing religion. It was a serious matter. Serious matter. Only John was there. Do you think that John here has his own mother? John had his own parents. John had his own mother. He went to the cross. He had his own parents, no siblings. There was James and John, their siblings. The mother of James came to meet him. To ask that they should sit by the right and the left hand. He abandoned his own parents, even his own brother James. He left him. I'll be here. You can go. James was older. You can go. You can go. I will stand by him. James said, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Let us go and hide first. Because these Romans, they will kill you. Are you mad? Wisdom is profitable to the red. Are you okay? Go hide. After 10 days, we will see if the coast is clear. Then we can come out. Are you fine? Oh boy, I know you're my big brother. But this matter, I'm ready to die for him. If you are not going, don't stop me. They went there. I'm not going to force you to come, but don't stop me from going. Don't stop me from loving him. That's my decision to love him. To love him. That's my decision, my choice. Don't stop me. The Lord will help us to love you. Lord, give us strength. Open our eyes to understand what it takes to love you with a platinum love, with undying love. To love you passionately, sincerely, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Touch us, oh God. To love you sacrificially, to carry the cross. To be willing to stand with you in public, to be unashamedly. Help us, Lord. They must love Jesus more than the closest of their family members. More. That is what my Bible tells me about a Christian faith. I cannot say on television what I went through and the decision I took when I became a Christian. And now my family members, one of my cousins called me a few months ago and said, don't you know that it's Ojude Oba? Won't you come? I said, what's Ojude Oba? I went to Ojude Oba years ago with my father. What is it? Our father's house is this, is that. Come and ride us. Which horse are you riding? You are a rich man. I said, I'm not doing. So many pastors are coming to Ojude Oba. I said, that's those pastors that don't know. I am busier than Ojude Oba. So you see, I greet them, love them, but my choice, you cannot accuse me for it. I love him more than all of you put together. I love him more. I love you, but I love him more. I love you, but I love him more. Number five, platinum lovers. They sacrifice in giving to Jesus. I've explained that. Like the alabaster box woman, who was a known prostitute or sinner with issues, but loved God more than everyone else in that room. Luke 7:40 to 49. I've explained that. Number six, what is this platinum love? Platinum love is a hot love, not cold love or lukewarm, as described by John in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14 through to 15. So, you know, I'm sorry to say, I wish my Igbo brothers and my Benue brothers can understand this. In Yoruba, it is called Ifeto Gbona. Ogbona, you know. And that's where I can say it. When something is hot, Christ said it there. He said, I would that thou art neither cold. Go to verse 15. Very clear. Jesus had to tell the church, and he was speaking to a church, by the way, because many times we forget this was a church. Jesus, the owner of the church, was writing a epistle to the church in Ephesians 3. In verse 15, he now clearly explained to them three kinds of love. Verse 15, please. Verse 15. Now, there are three kinds, saying you should know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold. I would take not be hot or be cold. You are lukewarm. You are neither here nor there. Be hot. Because what kind of work is this? Let me tell you this works, Jenkins. This is works showing the love you have for God. Because in the later passage, he said, repent, go back to your first love. First love. Go back to your first love. Because when you love God, your love is shown by what? The works that you do for him. Very important. When you love him, you worship him, you serve him. Seriously, you do everything you can. The man will know that this person is indeed a lover of God. Praise the Lord. Number seven. What is this thing called loving God passionately with everything that you have? It's also loving God for nothing. The best, in my opinion, the best lover of God in the entire Bible was not even John, was Job. In my opinion, the best lover of God in the entire Bible was Job. I am not lying to you. I am yet to see, and I doubt if any man exists on earth today that can go through what Job went through for the space of 9 months to 12 months and still be in faith. And in all those periods, Job did not utter one word against God. Lost his wealth, lost his health, lost his family, lost his essence, stayed on the street with boils and sores, was scrapping himself. Everybody felt they shouldn't get close to him. And yet, Job loved God. And that's it. Initially, you know, Satan said, does Job love you for nothing? Because human beings love God for something. We are here. We love God for something. We love God for something. So does Job love you for nothing? So if nothing comes, will Job still love you? So yes, this guy, he will still love me. He will still be all there for me. That's how you know platinum love. Platinum love is Job's kind of love towards God. Platinum love is when you do everything for nothing. Oh God. That's platinum love. You do everything for nothing, expecting nothing. That's Job's love. That, he just, because you feel he's done everything for you already. Whatever you do between now, next 10 years, for nothing. The first time I was going to lecture in the Bible school many years back, the man came to me and said, sir, we don't have too much money to pay you. I said, it's a honor to lecture. Do God's work, but we won't pay you. I said, I don't want payment. I said, you've paid me. I told the man, the first Bible school, not the second one, you paid me by saying, come and lecture. You've paid me. I consider it payment. I went there. Second one, they paid me small. 2,600 naira. I took it with joy. With a lot of joy. Because I was glad. I'm going to pour God's knowledge in the heart of people. I'm going to pour God's knowledge out of people. As I go in the morning, I will hire a bus. I'll go on a village evangelism. Stay with people. Be doing gari with them. I love the poor. Just stay around them. Understand why they are always happy. They are happier than us that are rich. I don't know why. They stay there in their village life, do their gari, and do their stuff. Right, tie their wrapper, and they sit down by 6:56. They eat. They do that. Whatever chewing stick, and they're okay. They're okay. Why? Little expectation. No bank account. No ATM. They were not expecting anything. Don't, if you manage your expectation, you'll be happier. The house was mud house. They didn't fight no NEPA. You come to town, you give them anything. They were okay. You people are the ones killing yourself. Killing yourself. You're not okay. And I witnessed to them that we had a gospel. They would say, as young as I was, they never despised my age. Pray for us. I will pray for them. Old women and men, they will sit down, kneel down, and say, amen, 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 amen. And I was satisfied. And I would trek miles back home. I was doing it for nothing. You get home and you sleep well. I preached one crusade, my head was banging me, my voice was gone, almost coughing blood. I kept going on. I said, I'd rather die preaching on the altar. He said, how did he die? He was preaching and he died. It's a good way to die. And I went back home and refreshed myself, went for doing it for. So I don't understand why people cannot do anything for nothing anymore. Because they don't believe in the cause. If you believe in a cause, you'll be willing to give to it, do it well. And Christianity. So God, the devil said, does Job fear you for nothing? Imagine if God appears to God, the devil appears to God with God to God today and say, does Lagbo fear you for nothing? Can you imagine what God will answer? I don't know. I don't want to ask you. You know your heart. And the devil said to God, does Jenkins love you for nothing? Will God say, that one is different too. That boy, he loves me, but he has something attached. We must make sure God can answer the devil like he answered Job. No, forget it. This guy, take him, he will still be there. That's why David was so much in love with God. He wasn't looking for the crown. He never wanted a crown. He never wanted to be king. He was satisfied with just even being a bodyguard. So when he now became king, you couldn't imagine. The guy felt me. Nobody. Now I'm king of Israel. He was dancing naked. And then one guy said, look at you. Hey, oh, king. I'm not the king before God. I'm a boy. The person I'm dancing before, I'm a boy. I can't come to his presence with my crown. I'm a king before you people. But before him, I'm nothing and I'm nobody. Love. We must love God. We must move our love towards God to the next level. The next one, Peter. Now let me tell this about Peter. Because I told you there are two Peters I didn't tell you. There was Peter, the gold lover. So people will not live and thinking I'm crucifying Peter. That was Peter, the platinum lover. And this is the answer for all of you that say, Pastor, how can I become a platinum lover? Peter became a platinum lover after the Pentecost. The Peter before the Pentecost and the Peter after Pentecost. After the baptism with the Holy Ghost. After the fire of God fell upon him. Was a different Peter. He was so bold, so fearless, so brave, so courageous. He was willing to die for Jesus. He was no more hiding around. They told him, they threatened him there. Peter said, Abba, Abba. Look at verse 14-15 in Acts chapter 3. Look at Acts chapter 3. Not Acts 4. This person is doing Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, boldness, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, uneducated, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Because they saw similarity in the boldness of Jesus and theirs. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Verse 15. So what they had to threaten. So when they had commanded them to go aside, half of the council, they conferred among themselves. Next verse, saying, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, and it is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us strictly threaten them. Let's threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Abba, Abba. Verse 19. The man I was denying before, Peter and John answered and said, sir, okay, whether it is right in your own sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge you. They were saying there, we love God more than you. We are ready to die for him. Judge ye boldly and bravely. They replied them, you are making a mistake. So you need to pray that God will baptize you afresh. The fire baptism. So that what you're doing now is that we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And of course, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorify God for what they have done. So the key is that Peter, after baptism, became what? Platinum lover. Maybe you need a fresh batch of baptism of God upon your life. Maybe you need the fire of God to come upon you. Maybe you need some experience, an encounter with heaven, so your life becomes different. You stop hiding. You start preaching. You stop running. You become bolder. You stop all these thinking that people hate you. You are willing to stand for him. Defy certain commandments and decrees against his own word and against his own will. Peter was willing to do all that. The Peter that I love is a Peter, the platinum lover. This one is different. I prefer that Peter. And there was something that happened between this place and that place. It was the Holy Ghost baptism. If you get that encounter, your life will be different. Put your hands together for Jesus. Number 9. I'm going to close now. Platinum lovers are those who love God with undying love. Undying love. Ephesians 6 verse 24. That is love that cannot fade. Love that is sincere. Finally, platinum lovers are those that pursue and chase after God. What you love, you become. What you love becomes what you pursue. This is the principle. When you love something, you pursue it. When you pursue it, you chase it until you get it. The proof that we don't love God enough is that God is not our pursuit. Psalm 24 verse 4. That's the only answer I have. Psalm 24, 27 verse 4. Psalm 27 verse number 4. The only way to know that God is number one in our lives is we will pursue him. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. Listen, the proof of desire is pursuit. The proof that you desire something is what you pursue it. You know the way a man chases a girl? When you like a girl, you chase her. You pursue her because you love her. But if you love God, you chase God. Tommy Tini wrote books on God chasers, God chasers, God chasers, God chasers. When you love God, God becomes your pursuit. Watch me. Because you love him. So your actions, your desire, because if you desire the thing, you will seek after it. And for him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wow. Was he saying he's a pauper? No. He was a king when he wrote this one. So he was simply saying, even as a king, I just want to be in God's presence. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I just want to spend time with him. I just want to spend time to behold. What a desire. One thing have I desired. And that will I what? Pursue. I will pursue it passionately. I will pursue it. That's why I know what desire is, a place of love. You desire it means you love it. If you love God like platinum lover, you will pursue God. You will chase God. You will go after God. You will want to please God. Everything you do, be how can I grab him, have him, want him. Everything is towards God. God, God, God. That's why Paul said in Philippians 2 verse 20 to 22, For all seek their home and not the things of Jesus Christ. For all seek, because we all have different pursuits. The psalmist says, I will seek after him. Paul said, all seek their home, not the things of Jesus Christ. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek. Every time you say the word seek, change it with the word pursuit. Pursuit. For all pursue their own things, not the things that are of Jesus Christ. Pursue ye first the kingdom of God. One thing have I desired, that will I pursue after. My pursuits are around the things I desire. Some people desire fame, so they pursue fame with everything they have. Some desire political power. I don't want it. So they pursue it with everything they have. Some desire glory in the things of this world. I don't want glory, so they pursue it with everything they have. Some desire social media, celebrity status. I don't. Some pursue it. They can, you know them now, they will take fake pictures on houses they don't belong, they don't own, and cars, because they want social media followership and celebrity status. Whatever you're pursuing, we know. Whatever you love, we know about what you're pursuing. Whatever you love, I know. But what you're pursuing, you're getting it. You're getting it. So if I don't know what you love, I just check your pursuits. Your pursuits reveal what you love. If I don't find God, you may agree, in your pursuits, I'm sorry, don't ever tell me you love him. Because if you love, you pursue. Pursuits reveal your affection, your desire, what you love. And I ask you today to check your own heart. Are you a gold lover, silver lover, or platinum lover? Check your pursuits. Check the things that you write down every minute, every hour, every second. Check your heart desires. Your heart desires tells us your life pursuits, your ambition. Shall we rise to our feet? Put your hands together for Jesus. Psalm says, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul pants for thee. All I just want is just pursue him. Just love him. Just love him. Oh yes, I pursue him. So you cry to find him. You pray. You ask him to fill your heart. Your heart is hungry for God. Your soul is hungry for God. You want more. You want more and more of him. The things of this world do not matter to you. Gold, silver, fame, glamour, pomp, pageantry, celebrity status, I don't care. All I want is to love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Make him pleased with my life. I just want to love him with everything I have and everything I am. Be a platinum lover. Be a platinum lover. Be a platinum lover. Love this Jesus. Love this Jesus. Love this Jesus. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. Chase after him. Love him. Embrace him. Let him know. Repent if you have to repent. Ask God. Make him number one. Make him numero uno. Make him your number one priority. Not just your pursuit and your priority in life. Make God your priority. Make God your priority. Yes, Lord. My God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for today. We consecrate our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you help us to love you more. We bow. We bow. We want to love you more. Help us that the works of our hands will reflect the love in our hearts. Make your love in our hearts, Holy Spirit, heart. We want to move from silver to gold, gold to platinum. We want to love you sacrificially. We want to give everything to you. Lord, help us that our service towards you will be without untainted, uncorrupted. We want to just love you genuinely, sincerely, undying, unfading love for you. Help us, Lord, to put the things that matter before you, to take them home and make them ours, to have a sense of ownership for the things that matter to you. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Thank you for listening.